Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Kaleo Andre has had a very busy year serving in disability ministry. In addition to volunteering at monthly respites for families whose children have disabilities, Kaleo is a regular short-term missionary at disability camps held by Johnny Erickson Tada's ministry. She is the oldest of seven children who have been and are still being raised, homeschooled, and discipled by their parents. Her grandfather, Charlie Widemeyer, suffered from ALS, and that was the first exposure that she had to loved ones living with disability. You'll hear her compassion. You'll hear her strong spirit in care and love for those who have disabilities. And that's why we pause for a moment at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio program is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, that no matter what challenges you might be facing today, there's always hope in Christ Jesus, who loved you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood on the cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the same Jesus who has touched Kaleo Andre can touch your life today. Kaleo, welcome to our show.
Hi, Danny. Thank you for having me.
Well, we give a little of your background, Charlie Widemeyer being your grandfather. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in San Jose, California.
What was it like growing up there?
It was good. I still live there. I enjoyed hanging out with my family and getting to know a lot of great Christian friends and such. I was adopted when I was 6 years old and brought into the Andre Widemeyer family, and got to meet my grandfather for the first time at 6 years old, and just grew to learn to love people with disability and knowing that they are people just like anybody.
Who influenced you most, Kaleo, in your growing up years?
I would have to say both my grandparents, Charlie and Lucy, my grandmother, because they just had such a love for the Lord. And Nani, I call her Nani, she really just loved my grandfather and poured everything she had into serving him and being there for him. And they both just loved the Lord and shared their story with everybody and just what he had done in their lives.
How did you become a Christian?
Well, I grew up in a Christian home, and I think it was around 6 years old, no, probably 7 or 8, where I told my parents, like, I want to become a Christian. I want Jesus in my heart. And so I prayed to accept him into my heart and then was baptized when I was 8 years old. But looking back now and looking back through my teen years and such, I went through a lot of just a lot of questioning about who God is and why he lets bad things happen. And I don't think it was till like within the last year or two that I've really just grown to have a love for him and have a relationship with him and not just the knowledge of who he is, because I've grown up knowing there is a God. But now, this past year, just really working on having that relationship with him and spending time with him every day.
You know, you asked yourself a very profound question, a question that people ask all over the world. You know, why does God allow, you know, bad things to should happen to good people.
Mm-hmm.
What answer did you come up with that satisfied you?
I was actually sitting in church a couple months ago, and we had one of our missionaries speaking, and he said that exact same thing. You know, people ask, why do bad things happen to good people? And he said, that's the wrong question to ask. The right question should be, why does God, why does he allow good things to happen to bad people? Because all of us are sinful and nobody's good. And so why does he show us favor and grace? And why is he kind to us and allow good things to happen to bad people? And that really kind of changed my perspective, because I was like, oh, that's true. Like, none of us are good.
He kind of switched it around.
Yeah.
And extracted more or different kind of meaning out of it. I mean, for a 20-year-old like yourself, you know, there are people in their 20s, people in their teens that are listening, that, or parents of those who are listening and saying, you know, there's a searching heart that you have, but there's an honesty that also goes along with it, that, you know, you're in owning your faith, in owning our faith, there are sometimes when we do need to ask questions that we might feel like we shouldn't be asking. Mm. And you asked it. And how did it affect the way that you got involved with disability ministries?
Well, I think just being around my grandfather growing up for, I don't know, about 11 years of him being in my life, and going to places where there's people in wheelchairs or people who can't speak, or it just kind of, it became normal to me to be around that. And then when he passed away, about 3 years after he passed away, which was about 5 years ago, I started, my friend at church introduced me to Johnny and Friends Ministries and told me that they have a camp where people can go and serve these children and families and adults affected by disabilities. And she's like, why don't you come with me? And I was like, well, sure, you know, I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, and was kind of nervous and scared because I didn't know how I would react or how to respond to certain people. But after that first camp of being there and being about around different people with spina bifida or cerebral palsy, or people who had suffered and were paralyzed, or who couldn't speak, I just was like, oh, I have to come back, because there's something about serving other people that just really hit me. And it's like, we are called to do this. We're called to help people. And so I think that's really what got me into it. And then every year after that, I have had to go back.
Have had to go back.
Yeah.
You were compelled.
Yes.
To go back. What does it feel like? What does it feel like when you're helping, when you're serving someone with a disability?
Well, people who have gone to Johnny and Friends family retreats who serve, we sometimes say it's almost like a slice of heaven, because you get to experience people with disability being themselves and you just being there for them and helping them all along the way. And there are times where it's hard, but you persevere to the, through that. And sometimes you have to really trust God. Like, I don't know why I'm in this situation right now, but how can I glorify you, and how can I help this person who's struggling right now? And so I think I went off track there, but
you know, so God places disability ministry heavily on your heart. Now, earlier this year, you traveled somewhere for a rather extended period of time. Where did you go? How long were you there? And what did you do, Kaleo?
I'll back up a little bit. At one of the family retreats, I served a family from our church who had two daughters. Well, they have three daughters, but I was helping them with their two youngest, who were adopted from China. and really got to know this family, this pastor's family from our church. And a few weeks later, they had talked to my parents and asked if I would be willing to travel to Albania with them. They were going to adopt a fourth child, a little boy with Down syndrome, and they needed help with their daughters. And so they asked if I would go with them. And my parents said yes. And of course, I was like, yeah, like who gets to just go to Albania with somebody? And so we traveled early this year in February, and we're there for about 2 months. And I spent a lot of time the first 6 weeks. I would watch the girls and help homeschool them in the beginning of the day, so for the morning, and the parents would go to the orphanage to visit their son. And then in the afternoon, they'd come back and we'd have lunch, and then we'd all go to the orphanage. And there I got to get to know a lot of the kids, because we spent 6 weeks in the orphanage, and got to meet a lot of the kids and get to know them and get to know some of their stories. And some of their stories are just heartbreaking. They have parents who just drop them off because they don't have enough money to feed their child.
Kaleo, I want you to, when we come back from our break, let's go back to that, the stories.
Okay.
The stories that you heard, things that you learned, lessons that God taught you while you were there in Albania. I'm talking with Kaleo Andrei. Kaleo has served with Johnny and Friends International Disability Center. She has traveled recently to Albania for a couple months. She's sharing her heart. You know, she's the granddaughter of Charlie Whittemeyer. She's part of the Andrei Whittemeyer family. And God is using her in powerful ways. And when we come back, she'll share more from her heart to your heart about a love for people who have disabilities and what we can do in partnership even with her. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Kaleo Andrei.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
You're listening listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
So she goes away for 2 months. And, she goes away because a family invites her to go with them to Albania to adopt a child with Down syndrome. I'm talking about Kaleo Andri. She really does have a heart for those with disabilities. It's not just something you do once in a while when you feel like it or when you feel pressured or even feel guilty about. She says it's a lifestyle. She's with us today. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm so glad you're with us today. Thank you for joining us. You can find out more about this program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can listen to it in its entirety for free. That and other resources there. thegoodlifehawaii.com. Kaleo, take us back to your time there in Albania.
Yes. So back to the orphanage and the kids. I'll tell you guys one story. There was this little girl who was about 4 years old, and I noticed her in the corner just kind of in a little ball, and like her hands were clenched, and she was I found out that she was both deaf and blind, and that she was born into a Romani home. There were Egyptian gypsies living in Albania, and the mother had died in childbirth, and the father, to make money, would put her in the stroller out in the middle of the sidewalk with no protection of the sun, and she would spend hours out there. She was born deaf, but because of the intense exposure of the sun, she grew blind as well. And so he took her to the orphanage, and she is living at the orphanage right now. And because of some of the physical therapists that come in and work with her, I got to see through the 6 months of, 6 weeks of me being in that orphanage, just kind of her open up a little bit and kind of, I can only imagine the very dark and quiet world that she lives in. But I would hold her and just take her hands and rub my hair and then rub her hair and then her face and then my face, just to get her to kind of explore, you know, life and objects and things. And by the end of the 6 weeks, she was almost singing in her crib instead of moaning. And she would kind of crawl around a little bit more. And it was just really neat to be able to experience that. But it was also very difficult to leave.
You felt attached.
Yes.
Didn't you?
And to a lot of those kids.
You know, just one story like that sort of stops us in our tracks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we live in a world, one could say the world is so big, there are so many people. Everyone is into their own life,
mm-hmm.
their own lives, communities' lives. But here is one human being. One girl. What do you feel God says to you in moments like that, Kaleo?
I think just that every child and every person is made in His image, and they all have a purpose in life, and they're all special and unique in their own ways. And especially in the world we live in today, and in Albania and other countries, second and third world countries, people born with disabilities are looked at as a curse or something bad, but they never see them as their blessings from God. They are God's children, given to you to take care of for Him. And instead they give them away or get rid of them. And so I think just that each of them are a blessing.
You know, when you hear the word compassion, or we see it, the word compassion in the scriptures, what does it mean to Kaleo Andri, compassion?
Well, it comes to VeggieTales Jonah, where he says, compassion is where you see that someone needs help and you got to help them. That's just what, when you said that, that made me remember my days of VeggieTail and, yep, in Jonah. And that's exactly what it is. It's seeing people who need help and reaching out and helping them. And sometimes that could just mean a listening ear.
Do you feel like you communicated with that the girl in the crib?
Yeah, I think through that experience I learned that, because I could only speak so much of the language and she couldn't even hear anyway, but through that experience you learn that the language of love is universal. You know, you don't have to speak their language to show them the love of Christ. And so that was another big thing I came away with, was those kids grew. I bonded with so many of those kids, and just by showing them love.
Why would you say it was hard to leave?
I think because I knew I couldn't do anything. You kind of wonder, like, did I even make a difference in any of these kids' lives? You know, you can't bring them home, and a lot of them had different disabilities or medical needs, and that couldn't be provided. And you can't just scoop them up and adopt them all and bring them to America where they could get those needs that they can't get there. And also just the bond you create with those kids. But I've learned to just keep them in my prayers. I know a lot, not all of them, but I know quite a few by name, and just pray for them often and pray for those different orphanages, and that God would raise up families to adopt them and give them a chance in life.
More recently, you've served in a month-long internship with Johnny and Friends. What did you do in that time?
I traveled to Los Angeles to Johnny and Friends headquarters, and we spent about a week and a half doing disability ministry, like studying the theology of suffering and what disability ministry really is. And so we were in classes and such, and got to bond with my team. There were 6 girls on the team. And then we served at a family retreat, a different family retreat than I usually serve at, but the same idea, as short-term missionaries. And I was paired up with a 37-year-old woman who had a traumatic brain injury when she was 17. And I worked with one of the interns. She and I worked together with Donnie, and she has, my fellow intern has cerebral palsy and was 18. And I really had to learn to communicate with her, because she is completely nonverbal and communicates through she usually communicates with an iPad, but it wasn't working. And so we had a board with letters on it that she would stare at or point with her nose, and we would spell out words. And so I worked alongside her with this 37-year-old woman, just serving this woman for about a week. And then we all traveled back to Los Angeles, and then we went to Haiti for 10 days. Yes. And while we were in Haiti, we did 3 days of VBS for a church, and there were about 100 kids. There were actually over 100 kids each time. And we did different stories. I think we did Jonah, and we talked about that story where Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me," and Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. And we had crafts and activities for them to do, and translators to translate. And then we also spent 3 days at a disability orphanage where there are about 15 kids who suffered from severe disabilities.
Let's go back a few steps.
Yeah.
And you talked about that woman, 35, but when she was 17, she had a traumatic brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like working with her or helping her? What did you experience in that time that you would think is somewhat unique?
Well, okay, that experience was very unique in the sense that I have served at other family retreats, and I had always had children. My oldest camper was 10 years old. And so when I found out I was going to be serving an adult, I was a little nervous because I'd never done it before. And I kind of just when I got to camp, and we make posters for our campers when they arrive, and we cheer for them when they come, they drive in, and I handed her her poster, and she looked at me and said, "That's not for me." And I said, "Yeah, Donnie, I made it for you." And she looks at me and she's like, "No, it's not for me." And so finally I just gave it to her caregiver and she put it in the car and we went to sign him in. And she turns to me and tells me her story. You know, I was driving a car and the car rolled over and I had a brain injury and was in a coma for, I think she was in a coma for like 3 months and in the hospital for a year. And then she turns around and she's like, "Well, I guess I'll see you around camp." And so I had to go to one of the directors and say, "I don't think she understands what I'm here for. You know, I'm here to be with her, you know, this week and serve her." And I guess it turned out she had been an STM before at this camp. And so she thought she was coming back as an STM, not realizing that she thought she was coming to serve. And she didn't realize
that. What is an STM?
Short-term missionary.
Okay.
So as an STM, we are paired up with a camper for the week. And we eat all our meals with them. And we go to different programs and activities throughout the week. And so that's what we do as short-term missionaries at Johnny and Friends. So that week, God just really had to work on me and say, you know, this week isn't about you, it's about Donnie and how you can serve her. It's not, but this isn't what I expected. No, this is what I have planned for you, and so this is what you're going to do. And so once I kind of was like, okay, Lord, what should I do? The last couple days went really well, and she really opened up, and I got to talk to her and work alongside Gretchen, my intern friend, and it just ended up being a good week.
Well, I'm learning from you, and I'm being both challenged and inspired at the same time. I would imagine our dear listener right now who's either driving or maybe listening at work or maybe at home or where they are, you know, we're all faced with a challenge, Kaleo, by your example. I think it's a very positive challenge, and it is when God places us in certain situations that maybe we were looking forward to it, but it there's a twist to it. It turns out to be a little different than you know, what we were expecting. What do we do then? We might even be a bit either disappointed or maybe more apprehensive as a result of that. But do we let God take us through to take its course, to learn the lesson that the Lord has for us?
Mm-hmm.
By God's grace, you have been able to do that. And I would hope and pray that I too, and our dear listeners, because so much good comes out of it, and I want you to share more of that good when we come back. More from Kaleo Andre. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm grateful that you're with us today. I'm broadcasting here from Boston, Massachusetts. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. My guest today, Kaleo Andre. And Kaleo has done work with Johnny and Friends, Johnny and Friends Disabilities Center. She has done work in Albania, in Haiti, in orphanages, all with the underlying tenor and tone of serving those with disabilities. Why would someone do that? How can churches be involved more? What would the church's role be? What should it be? What is it? These questions and more. You can find out more at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Get this program in its entirety and share it with a friend. Kaleo, when it comes to churches, what would you say the church's role is when it comes to serving those with disabilities?
Well, I've heard lots of stories of families, probably stories most people wouldn't even believe, of some families who have kids with autism or need a wheelchair, or a child who's just loud, their breathing device or whatever, and the church says to them, "I'm sorry, we don't have the resources to have your children in church. You know, you need to find another church." Or they say, "I'm sorry, your child's too loud. They're too hard to take care of in the Sunday school, so we need you guys to leave." And when I first started hearing these stories, I was really shocked, because how can we as believers of Christ send these people away? And, you know, their children, they're made in God's image just as much as we are. So why would we tell them, "Oh, we can't have you come to our church"? Like, and so with the disability ministry and course that we went through at Johnny and Friends during my internship, we talked a lot about that and a lot about the church's role. And one thing that really stuck with me was the chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, talks about the body of Christ. And in verse 22, well, I'll back up to 21, it says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." So that means indispensable means you can't live without them. You need them. you know. And so it's the people of the church that seem to be weaker, those people who are in wheelchairs or they can't speak, or maybe somebody with Down syndrome or autism. It's saying that we can't live without them. We need them. And so I've read that chapter many times, and I never looked at it that way until they said that. And just how it also mentions how the less honorable parts of the body, we bestow greater honor. And so that's our role, is to be inclusive of people with disability, because they have stories. They are people. You know, even my friend with cerebral palsy, she's 18 years old and she's stuck in a body that she can't control. And yet her brain still works. You know, people would look at that, and people talk to, will talk to people with disabilities on the outside, like their physical appearance, and they'll talk to them like they're babies, you know. Oh, how are you today? You know, and she tells me often, like, I'm not a baby, but people talk to me as if I'm a baby all the time. And so, especially as Christians, we need to be inclusive of those people. We need to bring them into the church, because, and they need to be a part of the body. So that's just something I took away about the church's role.
So how would we do it? How, you know, you brought something up that is so stark, and in a way a bit dark, maybe a very much dark.
Mm-hmm.
Stark and dark. Stark in the sense that it's so contrary to, and you just showed it to us in the scriptures, we act as though those with disabilities, very many times, we act as though they are dispensable.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, we need you, many are saying, we don't need you.
Right.
That's the message. It's not just being implied. As you said, it's being conveyed directly. Or maybe you're too hard. Go to some other church that's got a special ministry,
right,
to help. It's like passing the buck, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kick the can down the road. But the whole underlying thing is, you're a problem, mm-hmm, for us. It's,
yes,
it's an issue. It's a problem. The darkness of it is that, you know, there's a lot that can go on in the destructive measure in the way we make people feel. And I include myself, obviously, in that, because I'm not separate. I, along with others, you know, we haven't always handled things best or well. So now, Khalil, how can we improve?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because I do the same thing. Even growing up around disability, I sometimes, you know, you have those blocks of, oh, how do I approach this person? How do I talk to them? And then it's like, they're a person. And so I think it's something a lot of people also tell me is, oh, you have to have such a heart to serve people with disabilities, you know, that's such a gift. And I look at it as, no, this is what we're supposed to do, especially as Christians. It's not, you know, it's compassion isn't just a gift. It's something the Bible tells us to have, is compassion. And so a lot of people are like, oh, you know, that's so great that you do that. You know, what a great gift you have. And I've again realized it's our job. It's our duty. And so I think just realizing and stepping back and looking at a person and saying, especially if they're born with a disability, they couldn't have done anything different. You know, that's how God created them. And I don't know if I'm going off a track of what you said, but even like growing up with my grandpa, who couldn't talk, who couldn't move, who couldn't breathe on his own, I grew comfortable around that. And then he passed away and I wasn't around it as much. And then more recently, when I met Gretchen with cerebral palsy, the first time I met her, she was in a wheelchair and she can't talk. And I had a mental block. It's like, what do I do? How do I approach her? Oh no, I can't talk to her. And the Lord just made it so simple. I just went to him and said, please help me, because I don't know what to do. I feel like I can't, am not going to be able to communicate with her. And he really helped me with that. It just, it just seemed natural, you know, just to talk to her and be able to use her communication board. And right now we're like best friends. She emails me all the time. I'm always checking in to see how she's doing, even though she lives in Philadelphia and I live in California. And the relationships that I made with her are just so sweet. And I couldn't imagine having that. And she teaches me so much, too, about pain and suffering and just her endurance of it all. Because sometimes I go through my day and it's like, oh, you know, my back hurts, my arm hurts, my shoulder hurts. And then I'm like, oh, but Gretchen, like, you know, or other people, even like my grandfather, you know, being in constant pain. And, you know, and like he always said, my grandparents always say, pain and suffering is inevitable, but misery is optional. You can choose to be miserable. That's a choice you have to make. And so she's taught me so much, and I realize that's why they're indispensable, because they teach you so much. If I never had that, I wouldn't learn these things.
And those life lessons are profound and deep, and like you say, necessary. When Kaleo mentions her grandfather and her grandmother, she's speaking of Charlie and Lucy Whittemeyer, her grandparents, and she has a rich heritage, yes. She's also a dynamic person. She has some athletic abilities. When we come back, we'll talk about some of her involvement in the martial arts. We'll talk about, another part of what she does. She's a teacher. And have you heard of midwifery or midwifery school? I might have complicated the pronunciation on that last one. But when we come back, I'll ask her about it. And some of you might say, Danny, I know what that is. Don't you know what that is? Well, if you do, you'll know what she's talking about, but I certainly want to hear more, and maybe you want to hear more. I think you do. Hope you do. When we come back, more from Kaleo Andre. You know, it's been a blessing to have her with us today, and so it is with you. I'm grateful that you're taking this time out of your day to share heart-to-heart with us. And it's my prayer that you would embrace not only the heart that Kaleo has, but that you would embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, whose heart is for you. No matter what it is you're facing today, He loves you, He knows you. Hear me calling.
Just leave it to me. Danny Omashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, she has achieved great things. I mean, to become a black belt in Taekwondo, which is what Kaleo Andre is, a black belt. She also teaches elementary science to homeschooled children. She's been doing that for a few years now. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, coming to you from Boston, Massachusetts, here on the Good Life Hawaii Show. And Kaleo Andre is in studio today there with Chaz on tie. You know, she has plans also to attend midwifery school. Kaleo, what is it? Am I pronouncing it right? Is it wifery or wifery?
It's midwifery.
Wifery, okay. Well, what is that?
It's where I'll become a midwife and help people, women, deliver babies.
Okay. So tell me, how did you get, where did that come from? Where did that desire come from? Seems a little bit unusual. You don't hear much about it, really.
Yeah.
So how did that happen?
Well, I wanted to become a nurse. And so I started going to, when I graduated, I started going to our junior college and started doing prereqs and such. And there were a few things that happened that just kind of, and through prayer and things, my dad really encouraged me, and I felt like that was not the right direction. And so I took a break and just did a lot of praying and just experiencing with different things. I took a course in herbology and studied natural medicine and didn't feel like that was the right thing either. And then while I was in Albania, my mom kept mentioning to me, oh, there's this great midwifery program in Colorado, and it's a Christian program, and I think you would love it. And I just was like, no, that's not really my thing. And so then when I went to Albania, we met with the missionary family, and their daughter was about to travel to the Philippines where there's a midwifery school. And we started talking about it, and I started praying, and I was just like, wow, that just sounds really neat. And what a great, like, what a neat thing to experience life, you know, and to experience how God grows a baby in the womb and such. And so I started praying about it and then told my mom, you know, I think God's really placed it on my heart that this might be something he wants me to do. And so I started researching, and I decided to settle on the program in Colorado. And just recently I talked to the director, and we had a great conversation, and she really put me at peace with it. And just talking about it, and it's a Christian program, which I was very happy with. Just in talking to her, she was really encouraging, saying, you know, if you get through the first year and you don't feel like this is where you're supposed to be after seeing these births, then, you know, there's no problem saying, oh, it's not right for me. And so right now, that looks like the direction I'll be heading is midwifery. And then what I love about it is it's something I can do anywhere. I can do it in the U.S. if I become a missionary and I get married and we go to Africa or something. You know, women need help having babies there too. And so I just love that it's you can take it anywhere in the world.
And you can transfer that ability, that profession, that point of service anywhere, and it will always be needed.
Right.
I saw a magazine today, on a magazine stand. It's a Boston magazine. There was a young lady on there, and The caption said, how homeschooling helped me get into Harvard. Now, have you been homeschooled?
Yes, I've been homeschooled from second grade all the way through high school.
What was your experience like?
It was a very good experience. I experienced public school in first grade because of the adoption, and I just they needed me to be in public school for a year. My parents wanted to homeschool, but it just didn't work out that first year. And I just did not do very well. There was a lot of bullying, and I didn't even know my alphabet or how to read. And so there was a lot of cliques, and I just would come home every day and cry to my mom about who was my friend and who wasn't my friend. And she said I was somewhat depressed. And so when I started, when we started homeschooling, it was really good for me because I could go at my own pace. I wasn't pressured by other kids of how fast or how slow I was learning. And so, but as the years went on, my parents tended to focus not so much on academics because, you know, there are lots of homeschool families that their kids are really smart and they do get into those really good schools and such. But my parents decided to focus more on the fact that they wanted their kids to know God and who God is, and to know what our purpose in life is, which is to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. And so they, you know, I'm not stupid. I did do school, but we also learned about God, and that was their focus. It was always to make sure their kids knew who God was. You know, you can be really smart and you can be really good in math and you can become an engineer and such, but if you don't know God, then that's nothing, you know.
Claire, you're an athlete. Well, you come from an athletic family. Taekwondo. Black belt in Taekwondo. What did you enjoy most about your years doing it?
I think it was gaining confidence. The reason my parents chose to have us do it partly was because all of my siblings, because I have six younger siblings, all of us could be in one class and do it all together, and they didn't have to go seven different directions. But another reason we did it, especially for us girls, was to be able to know how to defend ourselves, especially in today's world, you know, and how to stand our ground or how to be wise about our decisions that we make, where we are and what we're doing. And so I think the biggest thing I learned out of that was confidence. And I enjoyed just, I loved class because, like, if I had a really hard day or was struggling with something and I got to hit that punching bag, it was actually really good.
It was a good feeling of relief.
Yeah,
relief.
To kind of blow off some steam.
Someone today is caring for someone who has certain challenges. We'll speak about it in more of a broad fashion, so it relates to more of us, to more of our listeners, as they hear us one-on-one. If they are at a point now caring for someone with a disability and they feel tired, mm-hmm. and they feel like giving up, what would you say to them? What do you think God would say to them?
I think I'd probably say to not give up, because God doesn't give up on us. To take that break, you know, if you're having a really hard day, take that break and go in and pray to God and ask Him for help and plead for mercy and grace, and He will give that to you. He'll give you the strength you need to keep going. There's this great movie out that a lot of people have seen called War Room, and just talks about prayer and how that can change your life. And so I think when you're getting tired and you feel like you can't go on anymore, that God will give you that strength if you ask Him.
Khalil, one more thing. What if someone in the church is saying, you know what, we've turned enough people away, one too many, and I don't think we need to turn, or I don't think we should, or we must not turn anyone away anymore if they come with a child or with a disability. We need to do something about it. I want to follow what the Scripture says about the least of these, mm-hmm. as the Scripture explains. What would you say to that person?
I think that they can change their church. They can, accept these people and take these people. And it might take a little bit more effort. It might mean finding somebody in the church that can do a one-on-one with this child who has autism, or, you know, so that these parents and these people can come in and feel refreshed and get to hear the word of God. And I think there are lots of resources out there, especially through Johnny and Friends, lots of people who are willing to help set up disability ministry in your church, and how to include people in your different programs you already have going and such. But I think obviously always pray to God for wisdom and direction, because he knows what's best for that church. Mm-hmm. And so I think, but starting with just one family, starting with that family who has a little baby with Down syndrome, or starting with that family who might have a teen with Asperger's or whatever, but it just takes one family, and just saying, we will welcome you with open arms, and we'll do whatever it takes so that you can come and hear the word of God. And you will touch that family and many other families as well, as your church will grow. And so I think, obviously, just praying to God for wisdom.
JohnnyandFriends.org. I think that would be a good resource, don't you think?
Yes.
And, so that's one of the things that you could do, too, is don't try to do it on your own. Reach
yes.
out, get some support. I think the biggest thing is that your heart is changing.
Right.
That you're
yep.
looking at your church and looking at people with certain needs differently. And shall I say, in a more biblical way, JohnnyandFriends.org. We've had Johnny and Ken, Donnie Erickson Tata, our husband Ken Tata, on our Good Life Hawaii program. So we've had Doug Mazza on. We've had Steve Bundy on. We've had a number of key leaders from the ministry. And today, Kaleo Andre. Mm-hmm. What a blessing it has been indeed. Kaleo, thank you so much for coming and sharing your heart and just talking story with us like we do and like we have.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a blessing to be a part of this.
Dear one, as you've heard today, it is indeed our hope that you have been encouraged and inspired. I certainly have, by this dear and powerful and very sensitive and giving a young woman, Kaleo Andre. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And Kaleo has done that a lot. And you know what? If you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. And I ask, would you do it? And if so, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a presentation for you there, a gospel presentation. And if you'd like to help us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. 1 John 4:16, and so we know and rely on the love of God that he has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Kaleo Andre. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Lantai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Almashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.